You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You see, there's this old story that some of you probably know about the monkeys in Brazil who were being chased by the catchers. And they couldn't catch the monkeys because the monkeys were extremely fast and agile. You could chase the monkey so far, but when he saw that you were gaining on him on the ground, he quickly climbed the tree. And so some of these poachers got together and said, I know how to catch the monkey. The monkey likes rice. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a rice dish in a hollowed out coconut shell. We're going to make the opening of the shell just big enough for him to get his hand in. But when he closes his hand around the rice, it's going to be too big in diameter that he can't get it out of the shell. And that's going to slow down his ability to run from us. And so they put that plan into action, and the monkeys would grab in the rice, and then they found when the poachers came, they couldn't run away because their hands were in that coconut. But the monkey was too instinctive. He refused to let go of the rice. If he had let go of the rice, all he had to do was pull his hand out, but he didn't let go of the rice. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from getting free? Something was done to you as a child or a young adult. Something was done in your past that's keeping you miserable, that's keeping you defeated, that's causing you not to see the plan of God in your life. In Jeremiah 29, God said, I have good plans for you. Do you see the good plans, or do you only see the trouble that's surrounding you? Something happened to cause you to be caught. Something happened so you don't believe the report. You don't believe that Jesus came to set you free because too much happened to you. And you're too controlled by the actions of others. People do things and it causes you to change. And you're sitting here nursing hurt, and they're going on about their business being blessed and walking in the things of God. And you're sitting here angry that God is having mercy for them. You don't believe the report. Why is that? In James, the general epistle of James, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, which means, how do I handle what I'm going through? That's the wisdom he's saying. If you lack understanding on how to handle what you're going through, because these tests will come, and God at some point in your Christian life will volunteer you up to the devil. You'll be sitting there minding your own business, walking in joy, listening to good gospel music, and God will be sitting in heaven dangling you in front of the devil saying, fresh meat, come and get it. It will change, totally change your view of God. You will wonder, why is he doing that? But you find out that God is a God who thrives on being able to brag. God loves to brag about his children. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for somebody that he can show off in. God wants to show the devil that I have people that you can't bring to their knees. I have people that you can tempt with the fruit of the forbidden tree and they will not bite it. I have children that even though they are down in a sick bed, they still praise me out of their lips. I have children who are mistreated and are hurt from the past, but they refuse to let that keep them in bondage. That's why every time they gather in my house of worship, they're the loudest ones giving me praise because they're praising me through their pain. What's it like to serve a God who wants to brag about you? Who wants to tell the devil, you don't have everybody. I got some people right now. They've gathered up at 2929. Every one of them got a scar in their lives. Every one of them got a hard time that they look back on. But devil, you can't get them to go backwards, because even though you hurt them back there, I brought them up here and they are not listening to you. Now go try them again and watch them give me praise even in the midst of a negative thing. James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, how do I handle this thing, Lord? How do I handle being ostracized, criticized, put down, lied on, persecuted? How do I handle loving somebody who don't love me? How do I handle reaching out to somebody who does not know how to reach out to me? How do I handle the pain? Ask him. James goes on to say, but you must ask in faith, and there should not be anything wavering. Tell your neighbor, nothing wavering. Tell him again, nothing wavering. I don't know if there's ever been anything in your life that you've been solidly convinced of. And you see, like me, because I'm still working through daddy's lessons, when I trust, I don't have a safety valve. I go all the way. And that's why people like me get hurt more than anybody else. Because we go all the way. You see, whether you want to accept it or not, you are the sum total of your environment. While your nature does play a role, a pivotal role in your development, your nurture, your environment, things that happened in your life also play about a 50% role in your development. You are not only what you are genetically, but you are also what you behold. And the bad part about it is you wind up shutting out those who accept you without trying to change you. And then there are some people who'll try to change you, and it's good that you change. You can't stay miserable all your life. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't be miserable all your life. And you can tell the miserable one was the one that didn't say it to you. I love church. Deep people will sit and pontificate themselves. He ain't talking to me. I'm not miserable. Really? There is no shame in acknowledging misery. The shame is not getting free of it. I am convinced from the top of my head to the bottom of my flat feet, I am convinced that true deliverance would come to 90% of you if you just laugh. I am convinced that healing will come to about 60% of you if you just laughed. If you stop taking yourself so seriously and stop taking the world situation so seriously and don't get frustrated because of what's going on in Washington. Washington don't even know you here, but God has you written in the palm of his hand, and the reason why you're still eating is not because of a government program. It's because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. When you learn how to separate your life from that of the world into the hands of God, it'll make you smile. Won't you smile a while, Sarah? You don't have to stay in bondage. If you feel like leaving, you know you can go. Some of us just love our misery. Probably wake up in the morning telling our misery, always and forever. Each moment with you is just like a dream come true. No, Jesus came to separate you from misery and replace your misery with a praise. That means that some of you won't get your deliverance till you give him praise. God is holding your praise over holding your deliverance over here, waiting on a praise. But we are so prideful and so arrogant, we won't even give him a praise. And he's not talking about you praising him in the privacy of your home. There are times when God wants a public praise so that everybody will know that he is in your life and has done something for you. I have never seen a person give God praise and walk out bound. I have never seen a person give God praise and walk out in misery. I have never seen a person give God praise and walk out with the sickness. Demons back up. Devils back up. I'm telling you, sickness backs up. Everything leaves when God comes in. And the only way to get him in is to give him praise. I am come so you learn how to praise me. We don't believe the report because of double-mindedness. Dipsukos, our minds are split between what we feel and what the Bible says. Get off of that boat. Stop letting your feelings dictate your responses. I don't ever tell anybody I'm anything other than I'm okay. You're not getting anything else out of me but okay. People say, oh, Pastor, you always say you okay, because doggone it, that's what I am. What good is it to tell you about what I'm going through? You can't help me. What good is it for me to tell you where I'm in a stage of bondage? You can't bring me out. All you need to know is that I'm okay. I'm okay because the Word said I'm okay. I'm okay because Jesus said I'm okay. I'm okay. Tell somebody, I'm okay. James Brown said, get up off of your seat and dance until you do better. Every week we come in church and just sit there and blessings go right by us. Healing walks up the aisle. You need to reach out and trip it. Say, stay right here. You ain't walking by me this week. Each week I come in here with a migraine and I leave. Not today, baby. Today I'm leaving with deliverance, and I'm preparing my deliverance by giving God a shout of expectation, because he's a God who thrives on my worship. Double-minded people are unstable. You find yourself loving a double-minded person, you're going to be miserable. Double-minded people, they can't love you. They're too busy hating themselves. You gave your heart to somebody who's incapable of loving you. You sitting around, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. You loving somebody who can't love you back. Run! Why should you be miserable and they're happy making you miserable? Double-minded. I want to be free, but I'm with you. Tell your neighbor, get free. Now tell them, but don't look at me. The word of the Lord declares that in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, that Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and you shall surround the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. And you do this for 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall circle the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the shout of the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. God promises us victory over Jericho. The significance of Jericho is that it was the last physical barrier between the children of God and their land of promise. Once they defeated Jericho, it was clear and smooth sailing right into the full boundaries of their land. Brothers and sisters, as a metaphor, I ask you this afternoon, what is it that's keeping you from getting to your final deliverance? For so long, you've walked with God. You came to God at an early phase of your life, and yet you are still finding yourself incapable of maintaining victory. You swing back and forth in relationships, ever searching but never coming to the knowledge of the truth of yourself. Becoming so convinced that your life is cursed that you bring others down who try to reach into your life to bless it. We don't know how to treat people because we don't know how to treat ourselves. This attitude, this action, as it were, has become our Jericho. It is the last thing that keeps us from experiencing fullness with God. Something is keeping us from the Exodus 33 moment of asking God to show us his full glory. For so many years, we've walked around the fringes of God. We come to church and we taste and touch his glory through praise and corporate worship. But we walk out in the moment the benediction is given, all that we've had put in us is now gone. It has run out. Like water in a sink when you lift the stopper. We find ourselves incapable of holding on to the revelation and the illumination that we've received at the hands of the servants of God, and wonder why we are going from experience to experience rather than maintaining permanent deliverance and blessings. I would suggest to you that one of the primary reasons is because we don't understand God's methods of warfare. The children of Israel are familiar with God working on their enemies. They saw it in Egypt. They saw what he did to those Amalekites and to others who tried to circumvent the will of God and bring them into bondage again. Now, for the first time, they are going to fight a battle without weapons. Let me scratch that. They were going to fight a battle without earthly weapons. For the enemy has erected a fortress that is strategically placed right between them and their blessing. And they were on the outside looking in. God did not tell Joshua, knowing that he's a man of faith and courage, to get some warriors and go in and defeat them, lay siege to this city, build ramps, and go up and destroy all these soldiers. No, he does not say that. He does not tell the people to lay on their face and go into humble obeisance before me, and then I'll send lightning bolts from heaven to destroy this building. No. He says, walk around six times and don't say a word. That was the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing for us is to keep our mouths shut. You see, words have power, and words once spoken can never be taken back. And some of you right now are held in bondage by words that were spoken to you. A well-meaning grandmother or father or mother or aunt spoke a very negative thing to you as a child during your most sensitive times, and that thing fell inside you, and it is now affecting your adult life. Someone told you you'll never amount to anything, and you're constantly searching to find your place in this world, and you're over 35 years old and still have not found your place because someone is still holding power over you. There is still a Jericho wall in your life. Someone mistreated you so effectively that you don't even know how to love others because you can't receive love. And people who are incapable of loving is because they're incapable of receiving it. And so unconsciously, they do everything in their power to push away the person that's loving them. And that person is trying to wonder, what did I do? Why is it that you're responding to me in this fashion? They don't have the heart to say, I don't know how to love you And I'd rather you just be gone, because your very nature offends me. If you were abusive, I could recognize that, and I could accept that. But I can't accept your level of love. You're too good to me. And so I can never love anybody else, because I don't know how to receive it from someone who loves me. It's a Jericho wall. And God sits up in heaven desirous to bring you out of that bondage. But we can't go, because our minds are so convinced that whatever those people said, and usually they are people in authority in our lives, and we can't let it go. Some of you have gone through 32,000 face and hair treatments because somebody told you you were ugly. And while your lips said you didn't believe it, you continue to do all the things necessary to feel better about yourself. But it's not yourself that you wish to feel better about. You're trying to make someone pay you a compliment so you can have someone say something positive, and you will forever be in that bondage. You will change your hair color 172 times. You will change your nail polish 37 times. You'll even get that pinky toe, a little bit of polish on that pinky toe, and nobody will see it. And people will say to you, you're doing this to feel better about yourself. No, you're not. You're doing it to feel better about the person that they put in prison. How can you ever feel badly about yourself when God says you're my child? Regardless of what you've done, how does makeup make you look better to God? Pastor said to me, a pastor friend of mine, I was at a function I had to speak, and he was sitting at the table behind me. He tapped me and he said, "Hey, E." I said, "What is it?" He said, "You're starting to get thin up there." He said, "Why don't you just do what I did and just cut it all off?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Cause you got that little bit up there, and you know, it just don't look good." I said, "Not to you." I said, "But it looked good to me."
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, "How to Live the Abundant Life," or the program number 01319P. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God. Ministers and aspiring ministers are invited to the Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church and co-host Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Tabernacle Harvest Church of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Come and join the pastors as they share from their 45 years of combined experience. This special session will equip you with tools and knowledge for effectively crafting your sermons. It's happening Saturday, March 9th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must call to register at 215-885-2585.
That's 215-885-2585. You can also visit Bethel Deliverance International Church Facebook page for more information. We look forward to seeing you at the Making of a Minister session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon.